I'm so full of ideas, and here's a good one.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ. I'm a lesbian too. And tonight we have a very special topic in store for you. Tonight we're going to talk about the five pillars of sex talk sexuality. And with me in the studio, we've got a studio full of people. We have the delightful and exotic Mistress Charisse, who we've had many times on the show. We have exotic noodle wrestling and internet psychic star. The Tacoma Tongue.
That's the Tennessee Tongue.
The Tennessee Tongue. Excuse me. The Tacoma Tongue was a trick I picked up yesterday. Liberty Avenue. And also, we have, help me out here, DJ...
DJ Celexa.
DJ Celexa. Now, Celexa, you are a handwriting analyst, psychic fortune teller, and you can pick things up with your vagina. Is that correct? Am I missing anything?
That's my day job.
With me also is, of course, my trusty and talented co-host, Lance, who also can pick things up with his vagina.
True, but at least I'm not wearing my wig today.
And in the spirit of the season, I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us, and I want to thank all of our guests for being along with us.
And I'd like to say that I hope you, our listeners, consider this show, hopefully our most salacious of the millennium, our Christmas gift to you.
Right, before the tragedy of Y2K destroys the entire fabric of Western civilization, I would like our listeners to have one last thing to cling to, and that last thing I would like to be is the image of the Tacoma Tongue noodle wrestling with me.
Tennessee Tongue.
DJ.
You know, DJ, I'm a lesbian, too. Perhaps your brain is not fully Y2K compliant.
Well, it was true that my encounter with the Tacoma Tongue was memorable. And the Tacoma Tongue really did go where, you know, no tongue had gone before.
I'd just like to raise a quick point about Y2K that maybe we can get to later in the show. I don't want this to evolve into a big discussion here. But think about it. Once civilization collapses, what will people have to do other than pick shiny bits of metal out of the ground and have oral sex, right? I think that, sexually speaking, Y2K could actually be a bonanza. But
I see your point. Y2K could be why to care. I mean, what you're suggesting is that the new millennium could usher in, once all this technological detritus is wiped away, it could get us back to our core values, which are caring, oral sex, and psychic noodle wrestling. Yes, exactly.
So, but onto the five pillars of the show, Sex Talk. So this expression comes from Islam. And there's a phrase called the five pillars of Islam, which are the five core components that make up the religion of Islam. And one is praying to Mecca five times a day. Another is the practice of the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca that every good Muslim should make once in their lifetime. But so this show is about, what is the sexual equivalent of that? What are the pillars? What really underlies this show?
Oh, so when you first discussed the idea of the five pillars of sexuality, I thought you were referring to that six-way, like the time I spent in the barrel when I was being penetrated by six different men simultaneously.
Wouldn't that be the six pillars?
Well, the five pillars and then my own...
His own pillar.
My own pillar, I guess. But my pillar was not engaged during that barrel episode. I was in a more receptive...
I think that's the beauty of the phrase, is that it's so rich and ambiguous, right? It can stand for deeply spiritual meaning, or it can stand for a lot of men... you know, just gratifying themselves mindlessly through holes in a barrel.
Wow, it does work on multiple levels. So,
but first, we should announce the phone number for those of you who want to call and give suggestions.
The phone number for the station is 621 I'm not projecting. There's something wrong with me today. 621-9728. If you're on the CMU campus, it's 89728. And we have a caller already? Oh, God. Can we just start over?
Well, why don't we turn the focus of the show where it really belongs, on our guests?
That would be a first for the show, but I think it's something I'd be willing to try if you ladies are ready for it.
I think we're ready for it.
I think we're ready for it too.
So
we're here to talk about the Pillars of Sex Talk. What do you think? Like, give us your first idea of what. I mean, you've all been devoted listeners to the show for at least a couple of years, right?
So you're a woman. Like, the first pillar of sex talk should be the penis, right? I mean, you agree with that?
Well, it could be.
I don't know. That's a little bit too...
That's kind of male-oriented, don't you think?
Mm. Not just male-oriented, but a little bit too literal. The word pillar? I think we need some, you know, five things a little bit more abstract.
And do we really want a pillar that leaves out all the lesbians?
Well...
Or at least all of the genders.
How about, so if you want something more, like the phallus, is that more abstract?
The phallus?
That's still very male-oriented.
The erection?
I think you're trapped in a phallocentric worldview. Your lack of exposure to female sensitivity in the sexual act has crippled you fundamentally in your thinking.
How about the clitoris, which is the diminutive female penis?
Diminutive.
But then you're completely neglecting the males.
Can't we step outside the box and not think in terms of... Why can't we talk about something that brings the genders together, like masturbation or oral sex, right?
Yeah.
Masturbation doesn't really bring them together.
That actually separates them, I think.
Although, I suppose...
Yeah, but at least it's a unifying experience, right?
I think oral sex would be a good topic. I think we should talk about oral sex.
Tennessee Tug wants to talk about oral sex.
Yes, because that includes both genders and all sexual preferences.
So, do they call you the Tennessee Tongue because of the dulcet tones that...
I have quite a reputation in many arenas.
Many noodle wrestling arenas or many arenas of sexual activity?
Many arenas of various kinds.
So, the first pillar of... just to keep me caught up here, the first pillar of sexuality is oral sex, and... The problem I have with oral sex is
do you have a problem with oral sex?
Well, do you think that there's a division between the genders, between oral, you know, the expectations and the technique and the meaning, the underlying meaning of oral sex? For example, you know, obviously, you could call it from sort of a political set, right? I mean, oral sex was very much in the mindset of Americans with the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal and so on. I mean, here was, you know, President Clinton, after all, getting what every man wants and needs, a blowjob from an intern, and yet this was a national scandal. Would it have been the same scandal if Hillary Clinton had gotten oral sex from... the dog Buddy after having peanut butter in her vagina?
I think it would be a much more interesting scandal.
But how would people have found out? Like, whose conversations, who's going to tape their conversations with Buddy to know?
Maybe when the cook realizes all the peanut butter's disappearing.
Or the yogurt, right? I mean, I guess that's the other.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm lost and confused here. What does peanut butter and yogurt have to do with dogs and all sex?
It's actually painful for me to break you out of your childlike innocence because, I mean, obviously, see, the way to get your dog to perform oral sex on you, and they're willing to do so with just a little bit of prodding, is to coat your vagina with peanut butter or yogurt.
Right, there are all kinds of horrible jokes about that.
Does fat-free yogurt work as well?
I'm not really... Yes. Pudding doesn't work quite as well.
Is the key thing it just has to be spreadable and delicious?
I think anything that's delicious the dog would like.
What about pesto?
It has to be sticky and lickable. You don't want the dog to start taking bites out of it, so you don't want some sort of chunky, you know,
So you're saying no pate?
Pate's bad, you know, if you spread
something sticky that they'd lick, you know, like sticky that adheres to the vagina and that the dog would lick.
Exactly. And I think that the advantage of yogurt is that it actually keeps your vaginal bacterial cultures in proper alignment.
Exactly. Right, it's supposed very to prevent yeast infections right. or something.
Mm. And,
that's if you eat it.
And DJ, I'm a lesbian too. You know this because, I mean, clearly you used to be a woman because of your name.
Well, there were times back on the bayou when life was hard and lonely, and my only friend was my trusty dog.
When you were a woman?
Sex dog. Yes.
Sex dog the dog?
Sex dog.
Oh, sex dog. So does this work on men as well?
I don't know. I actually have never tried to have the dog lick my penis. Although you'd think that would be like a tempting. They would just want to bite it.
Yeah, that would be more like the bone that you throw, and the dog would be more likely.
Well, who knows what a dog knows? Maybe they know. Maybe they can.
Couldn't you? I mean, you can housebreak a dog, right? Couldn't you train a dog on some sort of carrot or sausage-like object?
I think you'd try to carry it off.
I think if you try to give it a sausage, it will most definitely bite it.
Dogs actually like carrots, too. I don't know if you knew this.
And grapes.
Wow. So, I mean, we've come back to separating the genders, right? Women have this whole world of sexual gratification open to them that seems to forever be denied men, merely because of the sausage-like shape of our sexual organs. I have one last question that betrays my innocence and naivete. What about cats?
I think their tongues are probably too rough.
Too rough, okay.
Yeah.
And also, the whole cat vibe is all wrong. I mean, dogs, you know, they want to take care of you. Their whole reason in life is to would lay down their lives to protect you. And in the same way, they would make any kind of sacrifice to make sure you had a powerful sexual experience. Whereas a cat, cats are too selfish. They'd be worried about their own little cat-like orgasm.
Their own satisfaction, yeah.
Although if you get really close to a cat, I suppose, you know, it would come to be selfish in a very giving sort of way, so that making you happy might make it happy.
Mm.
And then, you know, it would be giving to you in a selfish sort of way. And this is kind of, I don't know.
So, but again, you'd have to give it some sort of tongue prosthesis.
Really and you know, job, they do right? it to themselves, so it can't really be too rough.
They perform oral sex upon themselves?
Yeah, they do. They masturbate.
Really?
And wow. then they like start twitching, and that's when you know that they're having an orgasm.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool
to watch. Something transcends.
So does this mean that bestiality is
it's
one of
true.
The pillars of...
Don't look at me that way.
In answer to your question, yes. I think bestiality has to be the second pillar of sex talk. And is this... What do you mean true? Is this... All,
I have
what
seen
species
it.
Are we
there's,
talking about?
Like there's books on it.
She's a guest expert and a psychic, so let's not question her judgment.
That's right.
Female and male cats...
All I know is female. I'm not sure if male cats
dogs?
Do it too. Although, you know, knowing males.
I mean, it seems like if you actually had the flexibility to lick your own genitalia, you would. So it fits with my own intuition and my own adolescent attempts to do the same.
Which brings us to the third pillar, masturbation.
Wait, I'm not done with the dogs.
Oh, sorry.
So, I mean, the point about bestiality being a pillar of the show, I mean, unless we're going to take some sort of Christian dogma, right? We ourselves, human beings, are beasts, right?
It's true.
So, bestiality really, I mean, isn't that sort of a superset of human sexuality? Well, anyways. So, this trick that works on dogs, you know, women often call certain men no better than dogs, right? So, does it work on men as well? Like, does it transcend species?
You'd have to put something that a man would like on your vagina, like, you know, a
flank steak,
Myron Cope, six go back to
beef jerky.
Now, because I'm a very empathic host, I've just noticed something that happened here when you said beef jerky.
Yes, I was elbowed, and so I slapped.
Oh, God.
Reflex action.
It appeared that, so I can only assume that you have some kind of interesting story to tell about beef jerky that...
Not really an interesting story, just...
If you have an uninteresting story about beef jerky, we'd be happy to hear that.
I'm thinking Monica Lewinsky is to cigar as you are to beef jerky.
Yes, perhaps she has a sexual beef jerky story she'd like to share.
No, I think maybe
any experimentation. I don't know what
to
you're
share about
of.
Beef jerky.
Is it Mr. Charisse?
It's actually about show? Somebody else that's not on the show, so maybe we should.
I think we should let
no,
him.
Well,
speak
if it's about Janet Reno, and it
maybe
might
we
be about
call
Janet
him
Reno,
into the studio.
We can talk about it.
I think that's entirely up to him to share with the radio audience when he
so,
wants to.
So, Mr. Beef Jerky, if you'd like to come into
entirely
the
up to him.
Show.
But so if I'm piecing together this story with my Sherlock Holmes,
I feel like one of the Hardy Boys. Do you feel like the other Hardy Boy?
Hardy Boy.
You know, if I knew a little bit more of the Hardy Boys oeuvre, I could make some joke here about.
They're just good-looking teen detectives.
I mean, I want them like. Aren't they, like, trapped in a cave and, like, evil Sheriff Flanagan
like
is, like...
9 years old.
No. The Hardy Boys are, like, 17, 15.
Oh, really?
Played by Parker Stevenson. I think that was Frank Hardy.
And Sean Cassidy.
Oh, and Sean Cassidy. Yeah. Played Joe. Played the younger, rakish Joe Cassidy. Joe Hardy?
Joe Hardy, yeah.
I see.
So the only thing... The only, like, disturbing thing that a man can do with a piece of beef jerky is insert it in his anus. So... Work with me here. Did the beef jerky go up his or not?
It's possible. We were never actually there.
And then...
Really, you think that's the only thing, disturbing thing a man can do with beef jerky? Oh, we have a caller.
He can eat it, for instance.
That's disturbing enough.
Hello, caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Did you have a question, comment, or a thought process to share with...
Actually, I am...
I'm sorry. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so bear with us for just a moment. If we could turn up the volume and reduce the feedback simultaneously, that would be great. So, caller, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's better.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, thank you for calling, caller.
You're welcome.
Your voice is so powerful, it's reducing our guests to tears just by its sound. You've got to share, first of all, the audience wants to know how to take three attractive sexually assertive women and reduce them to giggling schoolgirls by merely saying hello.
A special gift of mine.
So how do we take them to the next level now that they're giggling and all kind of feeling warm and fuzzy?
Is the next level orgasm or noodle wrestling?
Well, take their bras off.
Noodle wrestling would also be a good idea.
So, caller, the world is your oyster. Hold forth.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Well, traditionally, and I don't want to put you in the kind of box, you, the caller, would have some specific agenda in mind by calling in. Perhaps you want to ask one of our sex experts to remove an article of clothing.
Perhaps or ask them to start making out. It's another popular option. Or maybe you just have some sort of question.
Let's do something with beef jerky, for instance. Yeah.
All of those ideas sound really good, so let's have all the guests remove an article of clothing, and then, I don't remember what any of the other suggestions were, because that was the one
make
that
out
caught my attention.
Or
yeah,
ask a question.
That's a good one, too. Yeah. I'll pause and imagine as this happens.
There was paint their vaginas with peanut butter.
But we need a dog.
I mean, TJ, I'm a Lesbian Too, has been forced to act like a dog before. Five women, actually. It could happen again. So, caller, our guests are now more or less topless.
Okay. Fabulous.
They don't seem to be making out right now.
It's interesting. I noticed that you're both topless, and you both have very ample breasts. I mean, is this unusual? I mean, I noticed, like, some women have smaller breasts than others. Is this unusual that all three of you have such, I mean, in Jennifer Love Hewitt style, gorgeous, perfect Hollywood breasts? Are these natural, or is this?
They're natural.
I hate to
what
ask
are you talking
personal.
About?
You know, I don't. As an avowed homosexual, I don't actually see a lot of.
I mean, my pectoral muscles aren't natural. They're actually baboon pectoral muscles. So, I mean, it's not. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm not saying anything.
What is all that liquid all over here, right?
So, caller, can you do us a favor?
I think I'm lactating.
Sure.
Can you see if there's a beef jerky delivery company in the phone book?
I'm actually not near a phone book, but I can imagine the answer is no.
Oh.
Have you ever been sexually, caller, ever been sexually involved with a piece of beef jerky or other convenient snack food?
And other human beings or just me and beef jerky?
It doesn't matter in any way.
No. Actually, would you like a beef jerky delivery?
Yes, please.
I mean, are you gonna like, put it into your anus and force it to like eat it out of your?
No, I was just gonna bring it to the studio, but I could do that, I suppose.
Interesting.
And like get a really long piece and like lace it through your oral cavity and out your anus and do a butt floss thing with it, for instance.
Fabulous idea, indeed.
Do they make beef jerky that long and that resilient?
I don't know. Only one man would know.
Who is this mystery man? You keep talking.
The mystery man is the caller. You guys are so slow.
Well, no. We asked him point blank and he denied it.
I did not.
So there are clearly some unresolved issues here between our mystery caller and DJ Celexa here.
So, I mean, and just to add a point of seriousness to this call, I mean, you know, the we are required by our station, by our sex talk mandate, to actually discuss all sexual acts in full and complete detail. So, you know, in the same way that I discuss everything that I've inserted into my rectum freely and openly in the show, I think that this is our chance, and you're actually obligated, both legally and morally, to discuss what is this whole beef jerky anus connection.
I can most definitively say that you have fabricated the beef jerky anus connection.
The only other orifice.
So is there some other possible orifice that is involved with beef jerky?
Urethra,
yes,
maybe.
The mouth.
The mouth?
Urethra?
Yes. Our caller claimed mouth, right? Well, I mean, caller, are you just referring to the normal human process of eating beef jerky?
Well, yes, but if one were to derive sexual gratification from it, then it would be a sex act.
Which I think you did. I think you were giving oral sex to the piece of beef jerky in question rather than actually eating it per se.
That's quite possible.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
How did the beef jerky like it?
It was, it didn't really seem to care. It was just for my pleasure, really. I was being very selfish about it.
Was this a warm-up to some other sort of...
Sorry?
Was this a warm-up to some other... You know, like maybe like a kielbasa?
No, but you're giving me ideas.
I was thinking corn nut for some reason. I don't know why. The part that I understand is this beef jerky, and this is an important question. Was it representative of a female genital, like the vagina, or was it representative of the male genital, i.e. the penis, when you were performing oral sex on it?
Or some sort of strange admixture?
I would say something... just entirely unrelated, just a whole new gender called beef jerky. Sort of orthogonal to both males.
Well, I mean, is it close to some sort of like animal sexuality? Close to like jellyfish sexuality, perhaps?
I'm actually woefully underexperienced in jellyfish sexuality, so I can't really answer that question.
Wow, this is like a chilling sequel to The Blair Witch somehow.
You know, I think if they had beef jerky, they would have had plenty of food, and they would have been a lot more relaxed.
I think you're right. I think they might have survived their ordeal rather than kind of turning out so poorly. Well, caller, do you have any other questions or comments to share, or can we just leave you twisting in the wind and move on to the next pillar?
It would be perfectly fine to leave me twisting in the wind.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for calling, then. If you have any other questions, if other callers have questions, comments, or concerns to call the studio to share with us, please call the studio at 621-9728. If you're on the CMU campus, 268-9728. By the way, I should plug our website, sextalk.wrct.org.
So, DJ Selects, I'm intrigued by your name, which sounds very porn star-ish. Because we had a guest on a few weeks ago who waxed poetic about the virtues of Celexa. Don't you remember this, DJ? I'm a lesbian, too.
Oh, yes, I do.
He's too busy sniffing his wet spot.
My T-shirt is moist for some reason. I don't know why.
You're flushed with excitement. How hard was that to figure out?
It's very large over his right breast, a very large wet spot.
It's kind of orangish.
Are you lactating?
I mean, even as I'm moving deep into my fourth decade of life, do you still find me attractive, or do you think that...
Honey, we always found you attractive. Mm.
Attractive as a friend, or...
I'm just worried that, you know, when you're younger, it's just so... What?
Sorry.
We have another phone caller.
All right.
He was just so excited by the last phone call.
So hello, caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Do you have a question, comment, or concern to share with us?
I have sort of a concern. I'm interested. I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago, and I was concerned that are these lesbians in the studio right now?
Are they lesbians?
We haven't quite determined that.
We haven't gotten to the point. Well, I think I got some hint, some whiff of bisexuality from a couple of you.
Well, I guess all of this meat talk is just so disturbing, you know, in the context of lesbianism, because, you know, lesbians are so traditionally vegan, and I just wanted to promote the idea of a product that is on the market called vegan jerky that you can actually buy. So for those, you know, for those listeners out there who are feeling a little bit left out of this whole fetish, they can now know that they can enjoy such delight.
That is a fascinating and intriguing product commentary. What is vegan jerky made out of? I mean, it's made out of beef, I assume.
It's made out of soy, like everything vegan, probably.
Wow.
You know, and I'm sure some food grade plastic.
Do you know how they achieve that stringy meat-like texture?
You know what's weird is that it's not in that elongated phallic shape.
Mm.
It actually is more like an earlobe. which may also kind of disturb, you know, or reintroduce a whole new element to the experience.
Right.
Well, I mean, it sort of ruins, as Sartre would have put it, the illusion of oral sex, right?
Yeah. But an earlobe can be a very erotic thing as well. So.
Oh yes,
most definitely.
Be so close-minded. But anyway, just, you know, hearing kielbasa and beef, I'm sure there's a fraction of the millions of people who are listening to the show right now that might have issue and feel very left out.
Well, I appreciate your profound sensitivity. I would take issue, I think, with the idea that lesbians aren't vegan. I mean, I think, in my mind, I think of lesbians as being very traditional, kind of truck driving, you know, lumberjack.
Oh,
well,
not always the case.
Why do we let the crypto lesbians speak for themselves?
Wait one second.
I mean, let's break the stereotype. Not that, you know, I'm not enforcing one with the vegan accusation.
I mean, maybe this is just your fantasies about lesbians.
Well, I have many fantasies about lesbians, but they're all non-sexual. They all revolve around
the vegan nature of their behavior. That's what is the core place.
Lesbians with guitars,
rich haircuts. Yes, I know the stereotype, but that is not all lesbians.
If you fantasize with lesbians and guitars, you live in a golden age.
It's a beautiful life.
So I feel like DJ Tacoma Tongue. Pardon me.
Tennessee tongue.
I'm sorry.
Does she have to lick you in the face to make you remember?
It might help. Has a comment and is not getting. Please, as the host, I want to just give you the floor.
I think it's totally unfair of him to stereotype lesbians as the butch haircut, truck driving, Frank style folk singer lesbian. That is totally not the case.
Mm.
I don't think Frank drives a truck.
No, but Frank sang folk songs, and she was very proud of being butch.
Yes, she is.
Although she did say, I enjoy being a girl.
Who is Frank?
Frank is a folk singer.
You should get some Frank out of the music library.
Yeah.
They have a copy of Goofy Foot in there, and that is...
How would you know this? Are you stalking us?
She sings
stuff. I have a whole collection of lesbian folk music. That
But think about the Indigo Girls.
Well, yeah.
You have to.
They are certainly not butch, though.
No, they're not.
Well, I mean, they certainly don't. They certainly don't make a lot of concessions to the traditional ideal of beauty.
Oh, I think they're gorgeous.
Well, they may be gorgeous, but they're not putting on false eyelashes.
No.
And poofing their hair up.
No. Yeah, but they're not lipstick lesbians.
My point is, though, that not all lesbians are butch and ugly.
You know, the stereotype I have of lesbians that I'd like to see broken is the fact that they don't come on sex talk shows and just make out at random.
I sense you're hinting at something.
No, I'm just laying it out there.
Like, just, for example, if the three of you just, or at least any two of you, just had a little 15-second kiss right now, would that be so wrong?
Don't you need video for that? Does it blow no, it'll, kiss it'll burn itself into my eye.
Our viewers are skilled at using their imagination. And DJ, I'm a Lesbian 2's ability to convey the visual sexual images as poetry almost is second to none. Really.
Actually, I'm changing my DJ name to DJ the un...
the third
the
Endo
Girl. The third Endo Girl. The hidden... the shadowy third Endo Girl.
Well, if you're beginning...
Can we shorten that up to some sort of nickname?
If you're beginning to spontaneously lactate, I think you may be well on your way.
Can we just call you the Shindigo Girl?
I'm very nurturing. That's probably why I'm lactating at this point.
Well, I don't really have anything else to say. Just like public service, I think we can sum up vegan jerky.
So I have one final question about vegan jerky. Why not take, for example, a cucumber, which already has some status as a sexual object, and just jerkify that?
You've really got to experience the vegan jerky. If you go to the East End Food Co-op, they have it right by the cash register. Or any, you know, health food. Well, not health food, but like new age food store. So I suggest trying it because it's damn good.
I have to question the whole, like, politically, I have to question the whole attempt to, like, make a vegetarian food taste like a meat product. Why can't you just eat, you know, tofu in its natural form? Why do you have to pretend
because,
that it's, like, seasoned beef?
Because meat has steroids and all kinds of other chemicals to make it.
You could use the same argument, then, that why should a man have sex with a woman who used to be a man?
Okay, caller, make that argument.
I mean, it's just the experience. It's just food. Hmm. And shouldn't we just love it for that and not maybe what it was or what it's trying to be?
Well, to bring this back to a sexual metaphor, right? It's a common, I believe, if this sex thing is what I expect it to be, that a common form of sex play is to decorate your lover's genitals with some sort of food to make it taste different, to remove the sort of standard fleshy, sebaceous oils, right? So... there, right there, you've got a sexual analog to veggie burgers.
Very true.
Ah, fascinating. Well, caller, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your comments, advice, and insight. I believe we've got another caller queued up. So,
okay.
If future ideas do occur to you, please call back. Otherwise, return to the little lesbian cove.
Well, I'm going to go put on my Ani DeFranco CDs. And
you know, she's married to a man now, though.
I do, and I'm very upset, but I'm just ignoring that and moving on. Highly suggest everybody buy her new album. I don't work for the record company, but it's really kick-ass.
Okay, excellent.
All right, bye.
Thank you very much.
So much for calling. Hello, is it true that we have yet another caller on the air?
Not yet, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So we have to go back to DJ Shindigo Girls wondering the somewhat implausible question. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a caller now.
Hello, caller. Do you have a question, comment, or perception to share with us and the listening audience?
Oh, yeah. I had a question for one of the young ladies there.
Anyone in particular? Or?
Oh, no. Anyone will do. Actually, back to the dog topic, if you don't mind. I had an interesting question. Has any one of you ladies ever let a dog sniff you for a little bit too long?
Mm. No. Actually, I mean, DJ Shindigo Girl was the real authority in dog girl sex.
I think a lot do, but don't fess up to it.
So actually, I'm actually very interested because I would appreciate if the women in the audience, if the women in the studio would respond. But if you don't have an answer ready, I was going to say my relationship with my dog was purely sort of traditional, you know, fetch.
Traditional in the missionary position sense, you mean?
Well, more of this sort of like, you know, like, you know, fetch the bone and...
Oh, don't do that.
So then he was really excited when you showed him the penis, fetch the penis.
In fact, I actually sort of felt bad about him because he had, you know, I had a richer sexual life than he did, which is not saying much. So what does happen when a dog sniffs you too long?
I actually detest dogs, so I would never let that happen.
Hmm. So can you clarify, caller, what goes wrong or what goes right when a dog sniffs you too long?
Oh, well, I would just imagine the obvious from a woman's point of view. It's not that I have that, but just guessing.
The obvious is that they'd mount you like a dog?
Oh, no, just general stimulation.
Hmm.
General stimulation?
Well, I So you're suggesting that, I guess, and I'm just filling the blanks here, you're suggesting that the dog would get sexually excited and it would...
Well, I mean, the girl might.
Well, isn't that the whole idea?
Very true, true. I don't know if any one of them just let it go on a little too long.
I'm curious about how you stop the dog from letting go on too long. Do you use one of those little shock collars that you can remotely shock the hell out of your dog with? Or a more traditional, do they just obey verbal commands?
A little swat on the hindquarters?
Well, I'm not sure that's going to discourage them.
If you have, like, a BDSM
them.
Dog, it might enhance the experience. I believe you have stumped the experts with this question, and so...
Well, it looks like it, so...
You get a special Sex Talk t-shirt.
Oh, great. All right, thank you, Bunch.
That's actually not true. You get nothing.
That's all right.
Well, no, he gets our respect. I mean...
You get the opportunity to...
We really should get McDonald's to underwrite us so we can give away, like, free... Sunday coupons or something to our callers. Anyways, caller, I apologize that we didn't have a happy answer to your question.
That's
but thank
right.
you very much for calling.
There are
thank
some
you.
Questions to which we don't know the answer. I mean, even after a decade of graduate school, there are still some things I do not know. And one is, what happens when a dog sniffs you for too long, as the caller so enigmatically put it?
Hello?
yes.
Yes, this is Renate Aschenlechner. I had a comment to make on what the previous caller was saying when he was asking about the relationship of young girls and dogs.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you. So I just wanted to remind our listeners that Renata has actually been on the show a couple of times in the past.
And is indeed a globe-trotting sexpert.
That's right, yes. I grew up in Berlin when we were in a very sexually charged time. So the dogs, the German shepherds at that time, they were very interested in young girls, in fact.
Were they bred that way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it was just a time in which the girls, myself, for example, we were very, very, very aware of the world. And I myself, I was touching myself when I was quite young. And our German shepherd, he would come into my room, and then he would smell me, you know. There's his smell, this woman smell. And then he would like to lick me.
So you didn't require any of these fake artificial methods like fat-free yogurt or peanut butter?
No, well, I think it was the smell of the girl masturbating that he was attracted to.
Wow, ladies, do you have a...
German shepherds are supposed to be very loyal dogs. I suppose he bonded with you? You were his favorite?
Yes, he was very often coming into my room after this.
So that's probably why you did not need to attract him in any other way except to show off your femininity.
That's right, and then he would come and be licking. It was very pleasant, but, you know, I did not tell my father. Those German fathers, they do not like to think about their young girls and the dog.
Oh, yes, yes, that's something you
would. But there was a problem, which was sometimes then I think he became interested in me in the wrong way.
You mean he wanted a relationship?
Well, if I was playing with my sister on the floor, then sometimes he would want to jump up. And this I did not want to play with him. So we had to push him away.
So you had trouble setting boundaries for
that's
the dog,
right, yes.
When because was playtime and when was not playtime?
That's right. I think perhaps he did not have the maturity a young man would have had in this situation to understand that here is okay and here we do not go.
Well, I'm not sure that young men actually do understand that. Certainly I didn't when I was... So I'm interested, how did you discipline the dog, being a German and presumably a natural disciplinarian?
Well, you know, the way you are with the dog. You say, get away, dog, and then you hit him on the ass.
See, but again, if he's an S&M dog, doesn't that just egg him on?
Well, no, then he would slink away very close to the ground. So.
And also, aren't you afraid of, I mean, this is the standard problem women have. Aren't you afraid of sending mixed messages to your dog? I mean, sometimes you're...
Well, I to be frank, I think that perhaps I was. And I would not repeat this now. I think it's a little unfair and exploitative.
So post you, did the dog have a string of unhappy, broken relationships?
Well, I don't really know. Oh. Yes. After this time, he went missing from my family. And I do not know what happened to him after.
So do you think he was wandering the streets looking for love, looking for another Renata to call his own?
To be frank, this is possible.
Oh. Yes. Or maybe he was shot by East German border guards.
Well, we did not live this close to the border, but there were a number of dogs that lived in our area, and I do not know if they also were spurning his advances.
Well, the story that I was wondering, I mean, you're always reading in Reader's Digest, for example, about dogs who travel, you know, 1,500 miles to reunite themselves with their owners. I was wondering that if you'd forged a sexual bond with your dog, it would make that all the more likely that it would perform incredible heroics in order to either rescue you or reunite itself with you. Was there ever a case where you were, you know, trapped?
That is true. There was this time when I was ice skating in the winter on the pond near my school.
And the ice was dangerously
thin.
The
ice, in fact, was dangerously thin. Then, at this time, the ice cracked and I was falling in, and Hansi was trying to help me, but he wasn't very good.
I'm sorry, who was trying to help you?
Hans.
Humpy?
Hans. This is a German boy's name.
Oh.
He lived up the road from me. But his lederhosen were getting wet, and he was upset about what would be happening with them. Then, all of a sudden, the German shepherd, he came, and he rescued me.
Did the German shepherd try to have sex with you first before rescuing you?
No. I was, my genitals were under the water. It was very icy. Frigid, I was.
Wow, I mean, that's a Reader's Digest story right there.
That's right, yes. But yes, I wanted just to acknowledge that it is true that these things do happen with girls and dogs, and I think particularly when they are masturbating, then the smell is very attractive to the dog.
Do you think that your dog right now, when it's licking itself and masturbating, is still thinking about you?
Well, this was a long time
ago. I bet, though, its memory is a sense memory of smell, though. I'm not sure if dogs are visual animals.
Hmm.
Probably the dog would recall the smell more than anything else.
Well, I'm just delighted to hear from you as always. Do you have another comment?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Wow. So there's so many topics we haven't gotten to. One that I'm particularly interested in is one that we've alluded to earlier, which is noodle wrestling.
Now, noodle wrestling is different from nude wrestling by an entire additional syllable. Can you explain that difference as well as what is noodle wrestling?
So are you nude except for the noodles? Like, are you dressed in noodles?
No. You wear typically a bathing suit or some sort of wrestling outfit that you'd find on the World Wrestling Federation. Or, you're just your normal clothes, whatever you happen to wear to the bar. This takes place at the Lava Lounge. And
Really?
Yeah, on Monday nights.
Pittsburgh's Lava Lounge on Monday nights.
Every now and then.
Which is that's in the South Side.
Yeah. Basically, there's a baby pool filled with ramen noodles, and you get in it and you try to pin the other person to the ground, just like you do in wrestling, except for you do it in ramen noodles.
Why ramen noodles? Why not, macaroni and cheese?
You're silly.
Well, there's something about the texture. It's very
sensuous.
Yeah, it's very sensuous, and you try to stuff it in each other's clothes to try to weigh down the opponent.
Mm. Whoa, sweet and Grandma Moses.
Actually, that's not an allowed tactic, it's technically not within the wrestling rules.
But let me, as the straight guy here, let me get this in my mind. So you're wrestling somebody who's in a bikini. I presume it's two women wrestling, right?
Yes.
And you're trying to stuff noodles down their clothes.
No, it can be a guy.
Since you're in a bikini, means you stuff them right against their breasts or down their down their bikini
Down their pants.
So just the act of noodle stuffing is inherently a sexual act, given the apparel, right?
I suppose it is, even though it doesn't necessarily have to be perceived that way by the actual wrestlers.
So what you're saying is that this is an actual act of defiance against the cultural paradigm, which would require that putting noodles against the bare woman's breast is a sexual act. So in some sense...
And noodle wrestling says, no, it's just good, clean fun.
You're just smashing the paradigm, which I think is a profound and very powerful political act, and I respect you for that.
Well, thank you very much.
But, so you're getting all wet and sloppy with the noodles, and, I mean, you must hate this other woman in the noodle bin, right? Because she's trying to stuff you.
She's your enemy.
Actually love her, and you end up, sitting in the pool and playing with the noodles for a long time instead of wrestling, because you're both very...
Do you end up making out with her?
You're both pacifists, and, every now and then you do. It's not supposed to happen, but
are you sure wrestling is really the proper word to apply to this activity?
Wrestling happens. That's kind of the thing that everybody goes to watch. But
you're supposed to put your opponent on his or her back and hold them down for the count.
and you get three rounds with the opponent.
Is the count supposed to be long?
There's a referee. Okay.
It's as long as the referee can take without laughing.
And so the audience must be really enjoying this, and I would think being incredibly aroused by... So you're holding some other woman down. You've got her pinned against her back.
Yeah.
There's ramen noodles flying out of every
orifice. Your hot, and your hot breath
clothes
is
being ripped off
hers.
And torn.
Yes.
And
everybody's
swapping.
Slippery and pre-lubricated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a very slippery ordeal. And this other woman happens to be very voluptuous. It's the beautiful Fat Man D.
Hmm.
And there's so much cleavage there to stuff the noodles into. It's a lot of fun.
But is it a she takes on all comers sort of thing?
Yeah. She starts out, you know, wrestling with a few select people and then just takes on drunken contenders at the bar, in her words. So.
Wow, how come we haven't done a live remote for this?
There will be another show, I think, Christmas Eve or Christmas night at the Oakland Beehive. They're going to have more ramen than they've ever had before. And the owners of the Beehive and Fat Man D and Tina the Terrible, I think, is the other contender. And a couple of other people are supposed to take on challengers.
Well, Tennessee Tongue, with a name like the Tennessee Tongue, how could you not be a contender?
Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be here for the holidays. But perhaps the next time they have the wrestling.
So with our very generous budget, we could probably fill this studio with ramen, or at least that couch that you're sitting on.
We could probably spring for the above ground pool, actually, put it in here.
Yeah, all you need is a baby pool and a lot of ramen and a little water. You could do it.
Why are you giving me that look? Look, save the gay comments for after the show.
Sorry, our producer said something that I didn't hear, and so I looked at her, and then...
The station actually used to possess a purple pool, as you've described.
That's perfect.
Ah.
That's just what you need.
So it's already part of the facilities.
If I know the station, there's a pallet load of ramen noodles sitting around here somewhere as well.
Yeah, and you could probably even call Mandy up and have her come and wrestle in the studio.
Really? Well, so
she's, yeah, she's
Mandy?
Fat Mandy.
Fat Mandy. So, like, is she one of these kind of vegan lesbians? Do we have to get sort of the vegetable? I mean, I don't want to order
No. She's a red-blooded American female. Yeah, she's...
Excellent. So... All three of you have wrestled in the ramen pool?
I actually haven't.
I have.
And I haven't yet, but I've been asked to, and I just haven't fit it into my schedule.
I hate to interrupt, but I believe we have another caller.
This is unprecedented. Well, hello, caller. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Did you have a question, comment, or a concern to share with us and the viewing audience?
Yeah, my concern is that you're not getting to the last two pillars of sex talk.
The last two pillars?
Why, yes, we forgot about the sex toys.
I have my own ideas. I want to hear what yours are.
Okay, thank you for calling. So, one of the pillars would have to be the erect penis. I don't think we've gotten to that. I thought we struck the erect penis then. So we've gotten to oral sex, masturbation, noodle wrestling.
Sex toys? Do we have sex toys? Wait a minute.
Toys?
Have we gotten to masturbation? We talked about
bestiality.
That was three.
Okay. So, caller, what are your ideas?
Well, orgasm. How can that not be on the list? And heartbreak.
Shouldn't that be the final pillar?
Heartbreak? Like, did you say the ultimate heartbreak of any relationship?
Or heartache, right.
That's sort of a downer to end the last pillar on.
Well, as you know, before every breakthrough, there's a breakdown.
What does that mean?
Well, think about it. I mean, before every breakthrough, I mean, it can be...
I was thinking before every break up, there's a breakdown.
That's true. Every beginning implies an ending. And so once you can't embark on a sexual act without encoding that act's end. And like the point where you have your orgasm and sensibility returns and you ask yourself, what in God's name am I doing in this bowl of noodles with all these kind of drunken Pittsburgh counties like, laughing at me and, you know. I think
Indeed. So I think this is a very important point. The final pillar needs to be the accountability that comes at the end of every sexual act when you realize, my God, what have I done?
Well, you're turning it into guilt, but either way.
I'm being very sexually aroused here by the moment.
By the thought of guilt?
Well,
by that and by the skilled hands of DJ Mr. Cherise.
One of the three sirens is giving me a very sexy foot massage. Which made me retract my last statement about the aspects of
sex. No, but I mean, you have to think about it this way. Someday soon, that foot massage is going to end.
I can't imagine that.
And I mean, only the thought of the impending tongue-ear contact will.
You know, I think it was one of the Dune books, actually, like the 17th book in the Dune series, where these women actually enslaved their little men because they were so good at sex, they had some incredible power, where like once you had sex with one of these women, you would basically do anything to remain in her good graces. This is when Frank Herbert was totally running out of ideas.
You know, I've been enslaved to say that you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
But
it's like the sexual power is so great that it makes me do things that don't make any sense.
You're referring to my sexual power?
You know, actually, I don't know whose sexual power I'm referring to anymore. It just overwhelms me. There's so much sexual power this room between you.
And then the ladies haven't even made out yet. Come on.
That's true. But their sexual power is still evident and hangs over their head like some sort of, you know, glowing nimbus, like a Northern Lights of horniness.
Could you just, like, caress Noodle Sucks Girl's breast for just, like, a minute? I mean, I can't do it because it would be considered sexual harassment. If you could just touch it for just a second, I would really appreciate that.
Oh, we've already done that. Think of something more inventive.
Scissor lock? I think you were almost ready to do that. I saw a little shifting of positions.
How about toe armpit contact?
Oh, that worked.
They're on the verge.
She had a technical question. I'm sorry.
The scissor lock wasn't what you were describing, which would appear to be some kind of vagina contact. I was actually imagining like a wrestling move. Pin her down.
Sorry,
and
my mind
her
went
neck
straight to
with
the
her thighs.
Wasn't that one of Roddy Piper's signature moves, though, the vagina contact?
Yes. So, Carla, so I have a question for you because I sense that you're powerfully psychic and empathic. In the future, after Y2K, when civilization is reduced to rubble and we've forgotten all language and our ability to communicate is reduced to just picking up colorful beads and having oral sex with each other.
Well, I think we can grunt.
And grunting. What will the sexual act that translates to "please give me some of your food" be? I'll rephrase that question. It's confusing you. It is. If our language is reduced to,
we won't have normal human language. We'll be reduced to speaking a language of pleasure.
I haven't actually had a pedicure. My foot might be. So my sock. Okay.
I'm sorry. DJ Shindigo Girl has been reduced to incoherence thanks to the skilled hands of
The question is very simple. Like, after we've lost all of our power of language and we're communicating via only sexual acts, like, each unit of thought in our new language is going to be a basic sexual act, what will be the sexual act that corresponds to the very important mental process, please give me some of your food?
So, for example,
well, it comes back to the first pillar, oral sex, right?
So you think oral sex or food, I mean, like, tongue in the ear could mean, please buy me a Learjet. Like...
If you cupped like the firm softness of a woman's breast, is that like, you know, please share your fire with me so I may bring it back to my tribe?
I think we right here, right now, are establishing the language.
Yeah.
And in fact, our caller will probably be one of the missionaries who goes out and translate from this language of love to the language of human survival.
Oh, the apostle of the new sexual millennium. I like it.
Wait, but I'm not sure I like the status that gives DJ Shindigo Girl, because it makes him look like Jesus.
I mean, along those lines, I mean, you've obviously listened to the show a lot. Have you ever had any sexual feelings for me, the caller? Or do you think that someone that reaches my age, and this is an important question for me, like, as I've reached the age of 33, you know, I don't have any of that youthful kind of teenage sexuality that I used to have, right? And so, am I lesbian too?
You don't know how old the caller is.
Well, I don't. But the question is, am I only going to attract people who are attracted to me because of my money and fame, or is there actual?
You have money and fame. Oh, that's right. The show. Sorry.
So the question is, do I have inherent sexuality, or am I only going to be attracted to people because of my money and fame?
Because of your money and fame, or their money and fame?
My money and fame.
That's going to limit your pool.
Well, let me put it this way. Let's say DJ Shindigo Girl was writing into some sort of column where he might get set up on a blind date with somebody. What qualities of himself should he emphasize? The money and the fame?
I see. Well, and the pectoral muscles. And feet.
Well, I'm the one with the exciting baboon transplanted pectoral muscles. The feet might work, though.
My unnaturally large penis. And
that's
usually
a good thing.
That's usually an impediment to sexual encounters, but some people might like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think money and fame is the way to go.
I'm not sure that's the answer we wanted to hear on the show.
Well, you know, I think that the youthful exuberance that DJ I'm a Lesbian too.
DJ Shindigo Girls, please.
Just on the show. Wow.
Well.
What made you say DJ Shindigo Girls, please?
Oh, we changed names for him halfway through the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that.
That's okay. Presumably, you're calling from a few light minutes away and thus haven't received the last 20 minutes of the transmission yet.
More importantly, what made you say wow when I said Shindigo Girls? I mean, does this harken back to your own barely suppressed lesbianism? Or
my hatred for the Indigo Girls? No, neither. I thought that you were saying Shindigo Girls, please, as if the ladies in the studio were doing something to you that was...
Oh, if only that were true.
You were trying to beg them to stop is what it sounded like.
I mean, if anything, like, the jaunty cant of DJ Shindigo Girl's head screams more.
Despite being a sex talk show host, as I have been for these many years, I have surprisingly little experience with...
Lesbian
orgies. Less than you would think. I mean, I've actually seen, I've seen one, believe it or not, and it was kind of interesting. But you know, I think I need to see a lot more in order to be...
A fully actualized human being.
To move on to the next level.
I think that's in Dianetics as well.
So,
well, thanks for sharing some time with me.
I'm sorry, what did you say, caller?
I said thanks for sharing some time with me.
So, caller, do you have another question, or have we stumbled out a response to your comments?
Well... I didn't stumble out a response to my comments. I stumbled out a response.
Well, no, I think your suggestions for orgasm and heartache/heartbreak being the last pillars of sex talk have been well received.
Or coprophilia.
What?
Or coprophilia. Well, that's open to negotiation, right?
Which is, of course, the fetish for playing with being sexually aroused by human excrement. Or is that coprophagia?
Oh, you're kidding me. I actually have seen that word written down, and I thought it was corprophagia. Corprophagia. And I thought that they were talking about...
This isn't a spelling bee. I mean...
Well, no. You're the one who's stumbling on pronunciation. I thought that they were talking about some sort of, I don't know, a hatred or something to do with the word corporate.
I hate to interrupt this, but something's very exciting that's going on in the studio right now that may actually be the prelude to our much mooted lesbian orgy, which is DJ Mr. Cherise has just given DJ Celexa a package full of objects.
It's a Christmas present.
Oh!
Oh my.
These are perfect.
You're talking, of course, of those nunchucks.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the slinkiest pair of underwear I've ever seen.
Slinkiest pair of female underwear. So, DJ Celexa, what have you gotten as a present?
Oh, they're this white satin and lace pair of G-string underwear.
Do they say, I am innocent and I am dirty at the same time?
Yes, they do. And I am going to go try them on.
Go?
Try them on right there.
I tried them on right here, but don't look.
Okay, I'm not looking.
I want to get to the good food.
We're not looking.
Okay.
There's a problem I don't have about the confusing thing that I have about female genitalia. Is that that little strip of whoa? That little strip. This is. I'm having flashbacks to my trip to the strip of. Wow. Oh,
DJ Shitty Girls, you're not living up to your promise to not look.
Are they? Whoa.
Wow. I now looked, and they do indeed say, I am dirty and I am innocent at the same time.
Wow. So, I actually have a question. Can you stand up again for a second before you put your pants on? So, this is very interesting. Can you spin around? So, the thing that I understand is, like, there's a strip of fabric going, like, up your butt. Like, does that, like, not bother you?
No, you get used to it.
I mean, it's very sexy looking, but...
That's
like,
all they wear in Europe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all they wear.
It's very hard to find.
I've seen people from Europe wearing hats, too.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, when I see, like, Queen Elizabeth, she's wearing more than a...
Perhaps not.
Is she, or is that just the insane alien computer telling you she's wearing more than just a G-string?
Interesting. I guess there's no way that I can make that distinction. Well, so those are your old underwear.
Yes.
Can I hold those?
Oh, no. I think I'll put those back in this box.
We should stop ignoring the caller for a second. So, caller, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, caller.
I'm excited about your present.
We give the box of chocolate short shrift, but that's
indeed
fair, I suppose. Unless they're erotic chocolates of some variety.
Henna tattoos.
Oh, henna.
And two bubble gum. And two bubble gum. Mm-hmm.
So anything else sexual or just the panties?
Well, chocolates are kind of sexual.
Sorry, anyway. Thank you for calling, caller. I guess you're off the air. This may be as good a time as any is to...
Quit. To what, finally come out of the closet and admit that you really are straight. So instead of a lesbian orgy, we seem to have degenerated into a lesbian catalog perusing and chocolate eating session.
I mean, if you guys are going to be reading your catalogs, I might as well log back on to AOL and start instant messaging again. And this may be as good a time as any to thank all of our many callers for calling in. It's been a remarkably eye-opening show. You look surprisingly good in those underwear, which is effectively...
Oh. I'm not surprised.
Oh, you're so good!
She's talking, of course, about DJ Shindigo Girl's feet.
No, thank you. And also,
hey, these are pretty good.
But you're not moaning very suggestively.
Well, you know.
Oh! Oh, God.
I'm a small town boy from the Midwest, right?
Oh, I missed.
So, and we totally lost control of the show.
They tell you in sex talk host school.
So you got the master's. I just stopped at the bachelor's degree. So you.
Oh, right. So what we learned in the final fifth year was you should always maintain control of the room,
even if it requires caning.
Exactly. So if you're
wait, they're making out. Oh no,
lesbian guests start making out. Are they wrestling or making out?
No, our guests are wrestling without the noodles.
Off.
Now, do you pinch it or do you sort of twist the nipple area?
Now they're just staring at each other with a smoldering sexual passion of a thousand suns.
Sorry.
So those are those chocolate?
Or yeah, are they like chocolate flaked truffles.
See, why don't they make fine candies in the flavors that I like, which are like, you know, Cinnabons and Jello.
Not gay male penis flavor.
Bears. Well, that would work, but it seems like the one thing that I don't like is chocolate, and then all of, like, the fine candies are made out of chocolate. Like, there are other flavors.
You don't like chocolate?
Well,
it's fine. Wait, did this show all of a sudden become chocolate talk after midnight? Although, there's this folk myth that chocolate activates the same parts of your brain that orgasm do. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
I believe so.
Really? It's supposed to release endorphins just like exercise or sex.
So could you throw away men and lesbians for a suitable supply of chocolate?
Of course.
My sister said that eating chocolate makes you feel like you're in love.
Yeah.
In love with what? Just in love in general?
Well, if you're my sister, it's in love with the almighty dollar. I just said that. I don't really mean that. In case you're listening, sis.
Well, love is love, and I mean, right? You know, people get to marry horses, so why not?
Who am I to judge what someone else loves? But you looked really good in that little. So, would you be wearing the shorts like that when you were mud wrestling? And if you were, there wouldn't be a flaccid penis in the house.
Oh no, I was actually just wearing a swimming suit.
One that was riding up your butt crack like that, or?
No, unfortunately, it was just this normal brown, like. Two-piece sort of.
I mean, we have the technology. We do have butt crack riding upable swimming suits.
Yeah, really? Like,
yes, we do.
I mean, it seems like if you...
I don't know. It seems kind of sleazy to me.
So? It seems like if you take the definition of a swimsuit to its extreme, you would just have two little pasties on your nipples. And then maybe, you know, I don't know, a 2-inch
Some
square.
Thick yarn.
Do you shave your... crotch area?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is it completely,
Well, right now it's kind of growing back, but normally I shave it.
So it's completely, like, smooth, like... I mean, do you sculpt it so there's, like, a little patch of hair in some shape, or is
Every
it actually,
now
like,
and then, yeah.
Is that actually, like, smooth as a baby's bottom?
Well, unfortunately, if you shave it as smooth as a baby's bottom, it kind of grows back. It gets little bumps on it, like shave.
Yeah, little yeah. razor...
razor burn type.
Or what is it, what is it called? You get these ingrown hairs that are really annoying.
Yeah, so so it's kind of bristly, unfortunately.
I admire your the fact that you have... You're so concerned about the appearance of your crotch. I think so many people, while they take care of themselves in so many other ways, you know, they dress nicely and they have good haircuts, they really let their pubic hair grow out of control, and I think that's... That's
you know, perhaps we could record a crotch aesthetics public service announcement for this very station.
I mean, especially if you're attractive, you are. It's pretty much because, like,
you want to be attractive all the way down, right? That's what you're saying.
Exactly, and I can only speak for the men that I've seen in showers, but so many of them are, you know, they work out, they build themselves up in so many ways, and they look really good, and they, you know, get expensive haircuts and so on, but. Their crotch is an out-of-control mess, and it just ruins the whole thing.
So do you shave?
Well, I actually am an out-of-control mess in general, but...
I always thought of DJ Shinigirl as more of a waxer.
No, I do. Of course I do. So, I trim my pubic hair on a regular basis. So, but the look, the style I go for, which is known as the Belgian style, is sort of the trimmed... closely cropped pubic hair, and then the shaved scrotum. So the scrotum is completely smooth, or it has the same problem. You don't want to go completely,
exactly.
But very close, and then a little, kind of like a Party of Five, Charlie Salinger kind of look for the scrotum, which is like, you know, a kind of, as if it were a beard with a 5-day growth on it.
Yeah, the picture I'm getting is more like Moe from the Three Stooges.
Well, in a previous generation, I was trying to use a more modern television show. But
you know, we just got a call from EMS saying that the transmitter is dangerously close to overheating and we're going to shut down soon.
So you have scruff on your scrotum is what you're saying.
It's scruff, but it's an attractive scruff, right?
There's got to be one word for scruff on scrotum. Like, we've got to be able to...
scruff them?
Yes, scruff them. Or scrotuff. And on that note, DJ Shindigo Girls, would you like
to... I would like to thank all of our lesbian guests for joining us tonight.
Yes.
And it's been powerfully arousing. I especially enjoyed, although we didn't quite get to the lesbian orgy, which is disappointing, I did get to see you naked, which is going to fuel both my... I mean, I know you just told me not to look, but, I mean, let's face it.
I didn't look.
Well, that's because you're a chump. I can get to be where I was by, you know, you strike when the iron's hot, baby. That's
you didn't get to be who you were by playing by the rules.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Mr. Charisse, the Tennessee Tongue, and DJ Selexa. Thank all our callers. And you're listening to WRC Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. This has been Sex Talk.